Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from Let Your Kingdom Come, a book that I put together to trace the idea of the kingdom of God all the way through scripture and on into history, in fact, because it's been there all along and we need to see it because it could be that the days are coming soon when we will actually see this kingdom. And this should be our hope, the hope of his coming and setting up his wonderful kingdom. We've gotten to Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 11. Let's continue with this great prophet. Isaiah chapter 11, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Yes, that's how it was when Jesus was here, right? And that's how it will be when he returns. But at that return, chapter 11 goes on, he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Well, now that's a different vision of the Christ altogether, as he firmly takes charge in the new kingdom. It goes on, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is future, folks. These things have not happened, and there's no need to try to spiritualize it. Just believe it's coming. Nature will be at peace. Verse 10, I'm still in chapter 11, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. He will set up a banner for the nations, and will assemble the outcasts of Israel. Yes, the whole earth is going to participate in this wonderful reign of Christ. I'm moving on still. The envy of Ephraim shall depart. The adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. Yes, Israel and Judah will be one again, working together with King Jesus to subdue the earth. And then it says the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind he will shake his fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over dry shod. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. So these geographical details that simply do not fit anywhere in Israel's history to date, or in a new heavens and new earth for sure, this is kingdom talk. Is it any wonder the Israelite nation fully expected a deliverer, a literal deliverer to come, and that the apostles knew that this Jesus was the one who was to come? Now their timing was off, and they didn't understand that he had to die first, but the kingdom they did understand. Yes, indeed, the Lord reigns in heaven forever, but also on earth, says Isaiah with the psalmist. Let's move on. The Lord of hosts, it says, will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. Boy, that's enough said. If God said it that clearly, I'm going to believe that. Jesus is coming, and there'll be a kingdom from Jerusalem. Isaiah 14, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will still choose Israel and settle them in their own land. The strangers will be joined with them, and they will cling to the house of Jacob. Then people will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them for servants and maids in the land of the Lord. They will take them captive, whose captives they were, and rule over their oppressors. Did you see the word still? The Lord will have mercy, will still choose Israel. In spite of all the losses, in spite of all the sin, which Israel will confess gladly and sadly, in spite of it all, God will still choose Israel. Let it get in your spirit. Let this be a part of what you believe, what you know to be the truth. Isaiah 16, in mercy the throne will be established, and one will sit on it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. Does that need any explanation? I think you get it. Isaiah 19, in that day Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and is Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Old enemies, now friends, in the millennium. You say Assyria, they've been gone a long time. Yeah, but there's a lot of Assyrians in the world today, and they would love to come back to some sort of identity over in their own land. It's coming, folks. It's coming. Isaiah 24. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and will be shut up in the prison. After many days they will be punished. Then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. There it is again. Well, many days. How about 1,000 years? Shut up in the prison. It's exactly what it says in Revelation 20. That matches this chapter 24 prophecy with, as I said, the one in Revelation 20, where Satan is bound many days, for sure. Isaiah 25. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For on this mountain the hand of the Lord will rest, and Moab shall be trampled down under him, as straw is trampled down for the refuse heap. And he will spread out his hands in their midst as a swimmer reaches out to swim, and he will bring down their pride together with the trickery of their hands. The fortress of the high fort of your walls he will bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, down to the dust. In 25, we see glimpses of the end of all things again. The long-awaited Messiah comes and brings incredible joys to his people and all people of earth, except his enemies, who will once and for all be defeated, along with that enemy, death. Isaiah 26, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. These are millennial people rejoicing in their new security. You're calling Israel a righteous nation? Oh yeah, now we are. They've confessed their sin. God has forgiven their sin. Now they're called righteous, just like you and me, who sinned, confessed our sin, and now we are called righteous. Continuing in that chapter 26, with my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early, for when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. This is a person of our own time. It could be you, it could be me, longing for that kingdom to come, that time when the judgments of God are all over the earth. In that same chapter, your dead shall live. Together with my dead body, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers, shut your doors behind you, hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past. And so trouble is coming. This is at the beginning of the millennium. Hang on. Jesus is coming too, as it says in verse 21, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Now, this could have been written by any number of New Testament writers. Isaiah is indeed the prophet of the kingdom of God. He sees here the second coming of Jesus when he comes to destroy his enemies before the kingdom is set up. Isaiah chapter 30, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Chapter 30 tells us that when Zion rules, life is good. I know that there are ways that you could take this for today. The people shall dwell in Zion. Well, we are in a spiritual Zion, you could say. You shall weep no more. Well, it's hard to say that one, isn't it? But there'll come a day when it will be true. You will weep no more. There'll be no need for weeping anymore. There's a lot of reason for weeping today, whether good reasons or bad, that you're sad about something bad that's happened or you're weeping for the lost. But that won't, any of that won't be true in that day. Isaiah 32, behold, a king will reign in righteousness. About as clear as you can say it. And princes will rule with justice. He won't be there alone. He's going to be reigning with the saints. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of those who see will not be dim. The ears of those who hear will listen. Also the heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, in quiet resting places. Though hail comes down on the forest, and the city is brought low in humiliation. Righteousness, peace, security. The golden age of Israel has not come yet, but it is on the way. Notice that the wind and the tempest and the rash person and the foolish one will all be here in the millennium. But there will be a hiding place at that time. There'll be a healer. There'll be a corrective element. There'll be justice that is not present today. This will be a world that we have all longed for, and we'll have 1,000 years to get ready for that next phase of the kingdom we call eternity. I'm going to let it go right there. And that's Isaiah 33 coming up next time. Thank you so much for being here. And please do look around the site while you're not here. We have over 3,300 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers. persecution stories from North Korea in English and Korean, 400 in Korean, Bible studies on a number of subjects, and a blog. If you want more fellowship, please consider visiting my YouTube channel, known as Pasture Lands, or buying one of my books at Amazon.com, or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. And I'll share the details of our Zoom meeting that we have on Saturday and Tuesday at this time. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and this audio is being released on September the 7th, 2022. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.